The Hall of Faith, Abraham. So let's dive right in. By faith, Abraham. Hebrews 11, verses 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. Now, by faith, he obeyed. There's really two types of obedience or obeying in the Bible. There's specific commands that God gave, specific things. Hey, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. I don't think I want to do that, Lord. Well, you're going to go there whether you like it or not. I'm going to send a big fish along. And so remember that as you go through your life too. You can turn and go the opposite direction from where God has told you to go, and he will correct you. And he will turn you right around and put you right where he wants you to be. And you will know that. And so obedience in the Bible is basically we quit fighting him and we become obedient when we trust in him by faith. So when it's talking about the people, the sons of obedience, that would be the believers in Jesus Christ. Everybody follow me? The sons of disobedience would be the non-believers. It's just that easy. So we think about, well, I really want to be obedient. I really want to be obedient. Are you a believer? Then you are. You have become obedient by your faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So once you have faith in Jesus and you have said, you are my Lord, you are my Savior, you are my God, and you have become obedient. Now, there's other implications in the Bible where there's specific commands given. And God had told Abraham, I'm going to take you out of your land and I'm going to send you to another land that you don't even know. And I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Don't mind her. She's not attacking me. That's my wife. So obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. Did you know that as a believer, everybody sitting here today has an inheritance? Did you know that? And I'm not talking about you're going to get a house and a car and a bank account or something here on earth. I'm talking about an inheritance in heaven with the Lord. We are actually co-heirs with Christ. So you're heir to the kingdom through your faith. Amen. So I love this verse, and this has kind of been the story of my life. I love this verse, the second part of it. He went out even though he did not know where he was going. I love that because that just strikes at the adventure that's in me. Because I'm an adventurer. I feed off adventure. Maybe why I chose the career I did. But I love adventure. I love not knowing. I used to tell my boss, you have anything you need done, call me. I'll get it done. I would get phone calls. Hey, Chuck, where are you? Oh, I'm down in Kendall, Florida. Or I'm down in Homestead. Hey, I need you to go get on a C-130 at Opa-locka Air Base. I need you to fly to Cuba today. We've got an issue. I'm the man. I would drop everything, grab my go bag, go jump on a C-130. I'd be in Cuba for a week. I didn't know where I was going. Half the time I would have a little bit of information and then I had to figure it out from there. And so that I love this, that he went out though he did not know where he was going. How many times do we go out in the world and we don't really know what's going to happen, do we? Every time you venture out of your home, you really don't know what's going to go happen today. Every time you go to work, right, Bill? You run into your boss. I can't remember his name. But anyway, you don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what's going to happen. At work, you don't know what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. You know, I tell everybody, you're one text away from a life-changing event. You're one phone call away from a life-changing event. So always be ready to embrace it by faith. And know that no matter how devastating the news is, know that you will get by. God will see you through. Amen? Amen. So by faith, he went out not knowing where he was going. And this is the story of a lot of our lives because we really don't know. If you'd have asked me 8-10 years ago, I would be the pastor of this church here in Heber City. I would have said, you're crazy. That's, you're out of your mind. I had no idea I would be here and be preaching to you guys and us sharing the word together and growing in the word together and being a part of each other's lives and fellowship that we have here. And it's just amazing. So you do know God has good things. And that's how Abraham was able to go out. He's like, okay, if you believe, if you trust, Jesus could pull up in the parking lot right now and say, get in the car, and you wouldn't ask any questions. You would just get in the car because you trust him, you believe in him, and you know he's not taking you to drop you off at the dog pound and leave you homeless. He's taking you to a better place in your life. I know the clouds get dark, guys. I know the clouds can get really dark. And you don't even know which way to walk. But remember, that sun's going to shine, the S-O-N. And when that sun shines through, that's what fades that obscurity out. And everything becomes clear. And the closer and the more you're walking towards the sun, S-O-N, the clearer it's going to get. And it doesn't matter if you have a relationship problem. It doesn't matter if you have a financial problem. It doesn't matter what your problems are. You focus on walking towards that sun. His name is Jesus Christ. And everything will begin to become crystal clear. I loved it. I love this. So going to Hebrews 9, by faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. And we are the Gentiles that are also co-heirs of that same promise. How are we so? By faith. By our belief. Nothing else. Did we earn it? No. Can we buy it? Can we purchase it? No. He purchased it for us. And we kind of throw terms around loosely out there in the Christian world. We talk about surrendering to Christ. And I get it. I understand that. I understand what you're saying, but we never really fully surrender. And it's the opposite of that. It's believing in him. It's believing in him that he is the Lord and he is going to bring you through. He is everything. He is your redeemer, your sanctifier, the one that gives you forgiveness, the one that makes you clean, the one that makes you holy, the one that makes you blameless. Our righteousness is found in him. He's the total sum of the entire Bible and should be the total sum of our entire life. Amen. Just remember, when you're feeling down and bound, I like that, down and bound. When you're feeling down and bound, remember where you're going. You're co-heir. Okay? It's hard to see when everything's surrounding you and coming at you. Believe me, I've been there. You're not talking to a pastor that hadn't been through some stuff. You talk to a pastor that's been through a lot of stuff. You know, that's cried for months on end and slept on a mattress on the floor and just basically gotten rid of everything in my life just to where I could know him more. And my prayer was always, take out of my life, Lord, whatever is keeping me from walking with you closer, and then bring into my life whatever will make me walk closer. And sometimes when you pray that prayer, it's a very dangerous prayer to pray, because sometimes people will go flying out of your life. Sometimes things will go flying out of your life. Addictions will go flying out of your life. And other things will come in. And it's not always a cakewalk. Look at the prophets. I was reading through Jeremiah this week. Jeremiah, thrown in a cistern, thrown in a pit, left for dead, put in the stocks, left for dead, put in the courtyard, put into prison many, many times, threatened to kill him many, many times because he prophesied things against Judah. And people don't want to hear anything against their nation or their kingdom. They want to hear good things. The false prophets tell you what you want to hear. Listen carefully. The false prophets tell you what you want to hear and what will captivate you, but the true prophets tell you the word of God. Amen. So he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Where is that city? I would like to go there. Right? Where's this city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God? Where can we find that? Okay, we're already a part of it. We're already a part of it, but I'm going to take you to what Abraham was looking at, and we call it the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, the foundations of the city wall were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first foundation is jasper, the second sapphire, the third, I can't even say that name. The fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysopras, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made of a single pearl. The main street of the city was pure gold. Hello. That's where we're headed, guys. Wow. You're going to walk on gold? Yeah. Transparent as glass, it says. This is the city. Remember when Jesus says, guys, quit hanging on to me. I got to depart to go to prepare a place for you. While I'm gone, I'm going to be preparing a place for you. Believe me, once it's prepared, I'm going to come back and get you and take you to be with me. I will not leave you orphans. And so think about God preparing this kingdom. And this is the best description that John, sitting on his little island of Patmos, exiled, can come up with. He's talking of all these jaspers and emeralds and amethyst and gold and pearls. And it's just, he's having this vision. And he's like, wow, I can't even describe it. It's just every beautiful stone, every beautiful color, every precious metal that you could ever imagine is what the city's built of. We would think somebody was nuts if they paved this main street out here in gold. And nobody would drive on it. We'd be too scared to. But he goes on from there and he says, I did not see a temple in it. I did not see a temple in it because why? The Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. We're not going to be worshiping in a temple made by man's hands. I told somebody, we were talking about the church building the other day. I was talking to someone last week. And I said, isn't it funny how we think that our church building or a temple that's put up somewhere or a special place for this, but is sacred. There's nothing sacred about it. It was built by man's hands. God said himself, I will not dwell in a temple or a house made by man's hands. I'm too big for that. I'm way too big for that. I will dwell in you. In you personally. You are the temple of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You carry God with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, you are the light of the world. This is why Jesus said, don't hide your light. You are the light of the world. He said, so I did not see a temple in it. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God illuminates it. Amen? And its lamp is the Lamb. Think about that. The light of the world, Jesus Christ. The nations will walk by its light. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never close by day. because it will never be night there. No more evil. No more need to lock the gates. I used to preach in the prisons and stuff. I'd pull out my keys and I'd say, what does these keys remind you of? And you go, oh, I don't know. You got a car, you got a house. I say, yeah, but what specifically, why do I need a key? Because I have an enemy. I would love to throw all the keys I have in the garbage and just be able to walk into my house or get in my car and go down the road and not worry, where are my keys? Every time you see the keys, you got a computer password, you got something protecting your computer, you've got a password for your bank account. Why? Why do you need that? We got an enemy. Okay? So we are not going to have that anymore. It says, because the gates are never going to close. It will never be night there. They will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing unclean will ever enter it. Now let's think about that. That means you and I are what? Clean. Amen? Now you might not feel clean. You might feel like, oh, I disappointed God again, or I did something, I messed up. Yeah, according to who? Okay, according to your morals, your way of thinking, according to your religion. In God's eyes, his face is always toward you. He's always smiling at you. He's always seeking you. It's us that walk away. And us think we're not worthy. We're not worthy. Well, Jesus, God said, I sent my only son. Next time you think you're not worthy, think about that for a minute. God said, you're worthy enough that I'm going to send my own son. If I didn't love you, it would have been the days of Noah all over again. Amen? They will bring the glory and honor. Nothing unclean will enter it. That means that you are washed by the blood of the Lamb because you're clean. Because if you're unclean, you ain't coming in. Well, how are you unclean, Chuck? You're not a believer. You don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that makes you unclean. You can't be clean because your sins remain. Just like he told the Pharisees, your sins remain. They thought they were religious. They thought they had the way. They would get up and put on their long robes and sashes and dangle their scriptures off of them and go out on the street corners and pray for hours, beat their chest. Look at me, how holy I am. And Jesus would show up and say, who are you? Because if you knew the scriptures, you would have known me because Moses wrote about me. And we remember Melchizedek, who is the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament, appeared to Abraham. And he called the religious people out on that too. He said, Abraham longed to see my day and he saw it. Huh? Yes. Did you read about Melchizedek? Because he has no beginning and no end. He has no lineage, no genealogy. Thus, Jesus in the Old Testament. We tend to think of Jesus being born at a certain time and being crucified at a certain time. And now, okay, he's somewhere else doing. He's busy right now, but he's too busy for me. No, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Nothing unclean will ever enter, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, it's interesting about the Lamb's book of life. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, I will add your name into the book of life. There's a prayer that they pray in Colombia all the time to the Colombian military. When we go down there and we preach to the Colombian police and military, they pray this all the time. And I've told Jorge, you got it backwards, buddy. Because they pray the prayer, Lord, will you please add my name to the book of life? So you got it backwards. The Bible talks about blotting out names in the book of life, but not adding to, which means you're born with your name in the book of life. And when you die without Christ, that's when you die unclean, unforgiven, and you are blotted out of the Lamb's book of life.
Amen?
Amen. We all are born. God always said, in defeating Calvinism, it's very easy. God does not wish any to perish, but all to come to the knowledge of Him. Amen? So when we look at the foundation, we got two more slides, and then we're going to close it out here. Therefore, the Lord God said, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. Everybody knows what the cornerstone is. If you're a builder, Bill, you know what the cornerstone is. Everything is built around that solid foundation, that rock. A sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable. Do you believe?
Yes.
Then you are unshakable today. The demons of hell can come against you. The wrath of whatever can come against you. The spiritual attacks can come, but they gotta go. You can't touch the born again believer. He cannot be indwelled by a demon. He cannot be. He can be influenced to be spiritually attacked, but he cannot be taken over. You've already been taken over by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus is that tested stone, that precious cornerstone, and He's that sure foundation. What else is sure in life? Nothing. If we don't have Jesus, guys, we got nothing. We got nothing. Everything you own, everything you've ever bought, everything you've ever purchased, everything you invested is going away. It's going to be reduced to nothing. You're not taking it with you. What you're taking with you is your faith in Jesus Christ, and He's going to bring you through. Even when we're unfaithful, He is what? Faithful. That's crazy, isn't it? That's just crazy when you think about it. So I can still be unfaithful, but he'll still be faithful to me. Yeah, that's His promise. His love is never ending. The one who believes in Him will be unshakable. And to finish out, no one can lay any foundation other than what has been laid down. The foundation is Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:11. No one can lay any other foundation. No other foundation is going. All the religions in the world, all the various attempts to make yourself holy, make yourself acceptable before a holy God, it's not going to work. You can try and try and try. You can go back to your performance-based ideas. And people struggle with this all the time. I see it on TikTok. I see it on Facebook. I see it on Instagram. It's all over. You got people saying, oh, you got to... You're under the law. You've got to obey the law. The law was never. I said, I'm sorry. What Bible are you reading? The law was given to the Jewish nation. We know that. Never to the Gentiles. God says, I'm going to be found by people that weren't even looking for me. Well, who would that be? Us. The Gentiles. We're under a new covenant. What is that? His blood shed for us. We're under a new covenant. We've been forgiven. Now by faith, we go forward. And we say, well, let's take it to the next level, Chuck. I've got faith. I'm a believer, but I'm still struggling. Well, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. But understand your struggles are bringing you to where God wants you. Versus the struggles of the world, you're just going to have struggles and you got no hope. We've got hope. We've got a hope for, we know where we're going. Used to be old saying, you know, you can't change the past. You know, don't worry about it. Forget about it. You know, you don't know what's in the future, so just worry about the present. No, we do know what's in the future. We absolutely know what's in the future. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going to go. That should be us every day. God, where you want to take me? I know I got to go to work, but... In between here and there, whatever, guide me, lead me to people. The people that need you. The people that are hurting. There's lots of them out there. Go to the hospital. When I was at the hospital Friday, I'm talking to people. The doctor says, it's bad this year. I talked to the doctor. He says, it's bad this year. A lot of people are in the hospital. A lot of people having influenza and different types of respiratory illness. And I forgot, I even forgot my daughter, my 2-year-old granddaughter went to the hospital too last week. She's fine now. But you know, there's people out there hurting and needing. And you know, we can become self-absorbed. And when we do, when we start looking inward, it starts looking really, really, really rough. So start looking outward, start looking to Him, and start focusing on Him. Get in your word this year, guys. Get in your word. Know your word. Because when problems and trials come, you can throw a scripture out, just like Jesus says. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, He countered him every time. It is written. It is written. It's written about you. The Bible was written of Jesus, who talks about you, who wants you. The joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross because of the joy that was set before Him. Who was that? That was you. You're somebody. God cares for you deeply. And He wants you to know that. You're forgiven. Walk forward. Be righteous. Go before the throne boldly. Boldly. Hey, Dad, I'm coming in. I need to talk for a while. Sit down and talk to Him. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for this word and this time to be together and encourage each other in the word. And we know our hope is You. Our faith is in You. We know the future is bright. We know that You've got us headed to where exactly where You want us, wherever that may be, how difficult that may be. You're going to bring us through. You're faithful. You always have been, always will be. Your promises will stand for eternity. And we rejoice in that today as we move forward in this year. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.